A local couple accused of taking and abandoning a 9-day-old baby boy in the woods is still on the run. What we're learning about their criminal history and the evidence our team discovered when retracing their last known steps.
It's terrifying because there was a baby stolen and you think every second counts.
Plus, the concerns from a woman who found the car connected to the case and whose 3 911 calls went unanswered.
Rain is on the radar and more is on the way. Our next rainmaker comes with strong winds and much colder temperatures. All time out, what to expect.
Right now at 7, we are tracking another round of rain for parts of our area, and we could see heavy downpours. Taking a live look at the radar, this system is also bringing strong winds with it, and that is why we have issued a WREL weather alert day for tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. A wind advisory has been issued now for our viewing area. 45 mile per hour wind gusts are possible. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a timeline on all of this. Kat?
And we expect all of that to really ramp up during the day tomorrow. The winds will get stronger and the rain will get heavier tomorrow, but the rain holds off until the evening. Winds will gust 35 to 45 miles per hour during the day. The rain is most likely during the evening from about 4 p.m. to 11 p.m. And some of that rain should be heavy during the evening commute with a few rumbles of thunder. And then we're looking at nearly a 40-degree drop in temperatures in just 12 hours behind this front. Today, we had some light rain. We still have showers in the northeastern part of our area, but that's all moving away from us. Just a 30% chance of a shower tonight, and it would be very light. The bulk of the day is dry tomorrow, mostly cloudy but very windy out ahead of this cold front and this line of showers and a few thunderstorms. We see this line approach the area between about 4 and 5 o'clock for the western part of our area. It's going to move through during the evening commute and dinner time here in the Triangle, and just after dinner in our eastern counties, that we keep in a chance for rain through about 11 o'clock tomorrow evening. And then comes the much cooler air that will follow, and we've got the wind advisory in effect. That's in effect until 1 a.m. on Thursday in the eastern part of our area. I'll have a closer look at the temperature drop with this system coming up.
Sounds good. Kat, thank you.
The fate of the Fayetteville Veterans Home appears to be up in the air once again after pushback from state lawmakers today. State veterans leaders now say they haven't decided whether to repair or rebuild the facility. They closed it January 31st, displacing 85 veterans who were living there. WREL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie reports there are still more questions than answers about why that happened.
State lawmakers really pushed back today against the State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. They wanted to know why it was necessary to close the Fayetteville Veterans Home after less than 25 years and whether it was really necessary to relocate 85 veterans on such short notice.
The Fayetteville Veterans Home only opened in 1999, but it already has significant structural problems, drainage issues, and water and mold damage that got worse after Hurricane Florence in 2018. Representative George Cleveland said those problems should have been fixed then, but the State Department of Military and Veterans Affairs dropped the ball.
I personally think we've made a real muck-up of this whole deal.
Lawmakers also questioned why leaders decided to relocate the elderly veterans with so little warning. Deputy Veterans Affairs Secretary Brian Pierce said conditions were getting worse.
And we felt like in order to best take care of the residents, our veteran residents' well-being, that we were going to relocate them while we determine what the way ahead is for the building.
Pierce said repairs would cost almost as much as tearing it down and rebuilding it. Senator Ted Alexander said State Veterans Secretary Walter Gaskin told them recently he intended to start from scratch.
He did specifically say we should come to understand that he was going to do this thing, and that threw us all into quite a state of consternation.
The department appears to now be walking back that position. Pierce says it's still up in the air.
We probably poorly communicated it. Our first and foremost concern was getting the residents out of there. The decision's not been made what the disposition of the building is going to be.
Secretary Walter Gaskin was not present at the meeting, drawing sharp criticism from some lawmakers. Laura Leslie, WREL News, Raleigh.
We asked the Department of Veterans Affairs why they changed their position. They did not answer our question.
The U.S. Army is slashing thousands of jobs in a major revamp it says will help prepare for future wars. It's cutting nearly 24,000 positions. That equals about 5% of its force. The Army says it will restructure to be better able to fight the next major war. The cuts will mainly be in the already empty posts, not actual soldiers being cut. The service continues to struggle with recruiting and not being able to bring in enough soldiers to fill for all jobs.
Right now, police are searching for this couple. They are accused of abducting their days-old baby at the center of an Amber Alert. New 911 calls are revealing Destiny Cothran and Justin Brown took off with their infant, Jackson, after the Social Services Department threatened to take the child. The baby was found near a Big Lots in Durham last night, but the couple nowhere to be found. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan discovered Brown's wallet not far from that scene, along with the car authorities believed the pair was in. But now we also know Brown and Cothran were wanted by police before all of this unfolded.
It is important to mention that when that Amber Alert was issued, time, of course, was of the essence. And a Durham woman who found the car authorities were searching for says she couldn't get through to 911 at the time, despite calling three times with no answer. WRL's Monica Casey spoke with her about her concerns for safety in Durham.
The Durham Emergency Communication Center experienced a surge in calls last night, with 91 calls coming in about 10 minutes. The woman who found the car from that Amber Alert could not get through.
Lorna Ziegler is a mother of two in Durham. When she got the Amber Alert for Jackson Brown last night, she recognized the area and decided to look around herself.
I kind of have a heart for kids who are in trouble, you know, in need.
She found the 1997 Mercury Mystique in the Big Lots parking lot.
I saw the front of the car and I was like, I'm going to go around the back and see the license plate because it's temporary tag. And it matched the Amber Alert, matched the tags.
After confirming it was that car, she called 911 three times with no answer. She also tried Durham's non-emergency number twice and the number on the Amber Alert with no answers from anyone.
I flagged two people walking into Big Lots down and was like, hey, this is sorry to bother you. Can you call 911 because this is the car for the Amber Alert? And they said, sure. And then no one picked up their first ring. And then the second time, I think they got somebody.
Staffing has been a long-running issue at the Durham Emergency Communications Center. The latest stats from earlier this month show of the 60 operational positions, which include call takers, 36 jobs are filled. On the administrative side, which includes radio department staff, 19 of 20 positions are filled. In total, about 69% of all positions are filled at the Emergency Communications Center, and there are 10 part-time employees. The city tells me when Ziegler was calling last night, they were experiencing a surge.
It's terrifying because there was a baby stolen, and you think every second counts, like every second counts with a missing person.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
The city of Durham is asking that if you do call 911 and you find yourself waiting on hold, stay on the line and the next call taker will get to you. That's the advice that they give. If you do hang up, you are then bumped back down in that call queue.
Wake County school leaders want the overdose reversal drug naloxone in every school. Just this afternoon, District Superintendent Robert Taylor said officials will also come up with a proposed policy for staff on training and using it. A timeline on the change will also be presented to the school board in April. Wake Schools has not reported any overdoses, but other districts have. Last year, naloxone was administered 21 times in a North Carolina school.
The Biden administration announced a new round of funding for conservation that could help protect lands and waters in North Carolina. The America the Beautiful Challenge is an initiative that seeks to conserve and restore 30% of the nation's lands and waters through locally led partnerships. The North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission received more than $4 million from the program last year to build up longleaf pine ecosystems and establish an Atlantic cedar forest. It has helped restore Angola game lands, benefiting endangered wildlife species. Restoring these ecosystems also helps to reduce flooding potential and improve water quality.
There is more money. There's more money coming, more opportunity. We today are launching the proposal process for the next round of America the Beautiful Challenge funding. We expect to award up to another $119 million in grants.
And protecting these ecosystems could also have an economic benefit. Hunters, anglers, wildlife watchers, they bring in more than $14 billion to North Carolina's economy each and every year.
For the first time since WRAL began tracking the contamination at Pohall, NC State's chancellor is addressing the investigation on camera. How he's responding to some of the complaints about the university's handling of the situation. Plus, a local hospital used to be the only one within a 40-mile radius to treat black patients. Now it's being transformed. Details on how coming up.
We are all about tough conversations during this segment. We don't gloss over stuff. No rapid fire stories told to you in just a few seconds. During In-Depth, we take our time. We talk to you about what you want to talk about, the stuff that you discuss with your family and friends, the stuff that makes you laugh sometimes, or, you know, the things that keep you up at night. Whether it's politics, college, sports, guns, the internet, AI, drugs, vaccines, Taylor Swift, the weather. One time we even talked about space whiskey. It's serious. Seriously, though, nothing is off the table on this segment at all. And these aren't all my ideas. They're yours. Every week we get emails continuing the conversation and starting new ones. Many times they have a similar thread that we have noticed. We all feel it, that often overwhelming weight that is the cost of living. And I don't just mean the price of groceries or gas or things like that. I'm talking about homes and student loans, credit card debt, retirement savings, childcare, you name it. We get emails all of the time. Warren, there is nothing less affordable than a home. Kay, I worry about being taxed out of my home in a few years. Keith, many have to choose between work and care for their children. It's unacceptable. Robin, we are expected to live on nothing hardly. Lisa, middle class seems to get screwed out of everything. Pay the most taxes, barely make ends meet. Americans have over $1 trillion in credit card debt. The average millennial has $40,000 in student loan debt. More than half of Americans can't afford a $1,000 emergency expense, and Social Security could be bankrupt in less than a decade. How did this happen? How did we get here? The truth is, we can't really point our finger at any one person or any one thing. That would be too easy. And like I said, that's not really what this segment is about. The truth is, this is something that's developed over decades. And tomorrow, we're going to take some time to really unpack it. We often talk about home ownership like it's the end of the equation. A controversial book, The Two-Income Trap, Why Middle-Class Parents Are Going Broke. He said our daycare bill for two children would be more than $36,000 a year. Back in the day, a corner store was run by multiple generations. People had kids so that they could run the business. The market for big ticket items like a house, cars, or college has adjusted. That's a lot more money going into the debt jar than into savings. Life is expensive. So we pulled out all the stops for this one. We spent a lot of time. This is a story about you, about us, about what happens next. So join me here tomorrow night on WRAL 7. We are going to go in depth, like way, way in depth, on the cost of living. Again, you helped start all of this. I'll give you my piece, and then we'll keep that conversation going. So keep on sending me emails to dan@wral.com, and we will see you back here tomorrow at 7.
That is one we can all relate to, Dan. Less than a week after a revelatory five-on-your-side story on Pohall, NC State's Chancellor Randy Woodson speaks on camera for the first time.
It's complicated, and it will take time. And please know that our teams are working tirelessly to get answers as quickly as possible.
Keely Arthur takes a closer look at the message.
At many times throughout his two-minute address, Chancellor Randy Woodson directly responds to the complaints brought forth by people in our stories. I want you to take a listen to what a former student said about the university's handling of Poe Hall in our story that aired last Thursday, talking about the fact that NC State closed down Poe Hall due to toxic chemicals, but has not spoken to nearly 200 people who say they became sick after spending time in that building, including Sandy Elford, who was diagnosed with breast cancer.
And you're looking at alumni, you're looking at staff, you're looking at people that you said were important to the university. Okay. Tell us that we are.
5 days after that story, here is what Chancellor Randy Woodson said in his message.
Please know that we care very much about you. It's what motivates us in this work.
NC State closed Poe Hall in November following complaints of air quality and reports of cancer. Testing revealed high levels of toxic chemicals known as PCBs. PCBs are cancer-causing chemicals that were used in building construction but later outlawed. PCBs can also cause a myriad of other health issues. Now, Woodson's statement expressed empathy but did not present any new developments. NC State says it's staying its course, letting a consulting firm it hired test the building. They reopened their health investigation with the CDC following another Five on Your Side report. So all of these stories and people coming forward to Five on Your Side, it's working. The university is watching and listening.
And Keely, we know that you will continue your report. A Vance County-based nonprofit is in the process of transforming its office building.
It'll become a place where people in the community can celebrate its contributions to Black history. It used to be the Jubilee Hospital, the only one within 40 miles to treat Black patients. Within a year or so, the building will have a new facade with space for art and culture, gatherings, and so much more. It will be called the Jubilee Center. The CEO says he hopes the project will rewrite the narrative around Black history. Renovations are expected to start by mid-June and finish in March 2025. A shuttered glass plant in Wilson County has a new owner.
Last summer, WREL investigated the closure of the Ardagh Glass facility in Wilson. 400 people were laid off there. The plant made beer bottles for Budweiser. We learned the drop in Bud Light sales was tied to the plant's closure. Potter's Industries has purchased the facility. Potter's is known for making glass beads. No word yet on what it has planned for the Wilson plant. I know you hate this. The Carolina Panthers are raising their ticket prices this season, coming off the worst record in the league.
Yeah, they're going up by more than 4% overall. The lower level seating at Bank of America Stadium will see the most significant jump. Those are going to go up 7%. The Panthers saw half empty stadiums near the end of the season. In 2022, they made $530 million in revenue. The owner is one of the richest owners in the NFL. He's worth over $20 billion. Why not raise ticket prices for having one of the worst teams in the league? I'm sure people are really excited about that.
Hopefully there won't be any thrown drinks after those prices are raised.
Exactly. A new Amazon series based on a real band is set to film in Wilmington, including the creators of Netflix, Outer Banks.
The Runarounds will be an 8-episode series. It'll follow a group of young adults from all walks of life who form a real-life rock band after college. The series is created by Jonas Pate, the creator of Outer Banks, and will be produced by Skydance Television. Outer Banks was supposed to be filmed in Wilmington, but moved to Charleston, South Carolina.
I'll tune in.
I'll
local.
Watch. Mm-hmm. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Thanks for tuning in to us. We'll see you back here later.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.